Mance's Mission. I'm your host, Dean Mance. This is episode 5 from January 29th, 2010. Hello, and welcome everyone to this edition of Mance's Mission. It is my honor to introduce to you two amazing and passionate ladies. I would like to introduce to you Tina Schneider and Barbara Talent of Live Binders. These two ladies are the driving force behind the development of livebinders.com. Tina, Barbara, would you two like to take a moment and introduce yourselves?
Hi, well, I'll start. I'm Tina Schneider, and before Live Binders, I worked at the Fuji Xerox Software Research Lab, where I was a project leader focused on coming up with next-generation documents for the workforce. While there, I was working with high school kids who were the first generation of students to have grown up completely digital, what we call the digital natives. And we were working on a number of different applications that we thought the students might want to use when they enter the workforce as adults in another 10 years. Because of that focus, I spent much of my time in the classroom and became more interested in education and how digital tools could help with learning, and left the corporate world to be more involved with education through Live Binders.
And my name's Barbara Talent. My background is an executive who builds software companies in the digital communication space. But outside my work, I've spent countless hours helping my local elementary school go digital through the website and through email newsletters. And I've worked with many applications that were designed for schools. So when I met Tina and I heard her great vision of an application designed for teachers, I became very excited about it. The challenge was to create a very simple tool with the power to help teachers really harness their resources and everything they find out there on the internet. And that's what we've done with Live Binders. We're still working on things, but I think we've done a pretty good job so far.
I would absolutely agree. Both of you ladies are doing a great job with Live Binders. I'm definitely going to be using this one and recommending this as my tool. But would you two ladies take a moment and just kind of continue and give us a little more in-depth explanation of the vision behind this fantastic tool.
So Live Binders is a combination of things. First, it's a visual bookmarking tool so that when you are out there browsing the internet with your web browser and looking for interesting websites, normally you would click your favorites, or maybe you use Delicious and keep track of the URLs in that way. But with Live Binders, you do the same thing. You can use the Live Binder It tool to click on URLs and websites that you're interested in, but instead of leaving it as a list, it actually puts it into what we call your three-ring binder for the web. And everything that you put in your binder is organized by tabs and subtabs. So if you're collecting a website that you want to share with your students and you click the Live Binder It bookmarklet tool, it actually grabs the URL and puts it within the tab. So when you click on that tab, you don't see the link to it, you would see the web page. And you could have a next tab after that that could be a link to a YouTube video or a TeacherTube video. And within each tab, you could actually have subtabs. So if there are many websites that you want to have organized under a single tab, you can do that as well. The other thing about Live Binders is that you can upload your documents. So if you want to include a binder for your students that has these websites as resources, but also your PDF files or your Word documents, you want the students to print them out and study them, or if you have a PowerPoint slide that you want them to review, you can also put that into a Live Binder. So basically, in a nutshell, it's your three-ring binder for the web. So the vision actually came from having been in the classroom with the students and being focused on the students, but one thing that really made an impression on me was observing teachers and how, when it came to technology in the classroom, they were always on the sidelines. So I was really drawn to that and really curious as to how to get these teachers engaged. And many times there was always these three things that they always complained about in terms of new technologies in the classroom. One was that it was a big time drain. How long is it going to take me to learn the software? How long is it going to take me to create what I need to create? Most of the time, these are digital documents that require authoring and editing skills. And then the other question was, well, how much does it really pertain to what I'm actually doing in the classroom? How useful is this application for learning? And then the other concern, again, was, well, how easy is it for my kids to get to this tool? Or how easy is it for me to have this accessible? So what I decided to do then was to actually sit down with a teacher and spend, you know, the day in the life of the teacher And I spent, was lucky enough to work with a science teacher and follow her as she prepared herself. She would spend 15 minutes before class queuing all of her digital material and getting them ready for her presentation. And then I watched her in class as she did a juggling act, basically, between opening up her PowerPoint presentation and then running over and queuing up a video and then coming back and then closing the PowerPoint and opening up a web browser and then closing that and opening up another video file or a projector. And every time she made that transition from one technology to the next technology, there would be silence in the classroom, and then the students would start talking. So she again would have to try to draw the kids back in, focus back on the subject matter, and it became this juggling dance of trying to tell her story in 25 to 45 minutes maybe in her classroom. So I got a real sense of what the challenges were for a teacher to incorporate new technologies. So I realized that probably one of the most important things that a technology tool could do for teachers is to think about how teachers collect, evaluate, and then present information. So I saw a great opportunity to design something specifically for teachers and what they needed to do in the classroom.
I couldn't agree more with you on those three concerns that were raised when talking with the teachers, with it being, one, time for training. We hear that all the time. Two, how useful is this for learning? Again, is some teachers are kind of set in their ways. They don't really see that vision of how to adopt something new. So they want to hear how it could be used before they would try it. And three, how accessible is that tool? Yeah, is it costly? Is it going to take me steps to do it? Can I get right to it? Those are three great points. And in considering those points, why would you say Life Binders is an ideal resource for educators?
Thing is, how easy is it and how useful is this application? So for us, I think having from the ground up designed Live Binders to work with a metaphor that the teachers are familiar with, the binder metaphor and the tabs and subtab metaphor, I think having that all-encompassing UI makes it really easy for a teacher to adopt this new tool and to be able to use it. If a teacher can copy and paste a URL, if they know how to upload a document, if they know how to send an email, then they know how to use Live Binders. So right away, we're taking care of, is this easy and is this useful? The other thing is, how accessible is it? A teacher wants to be able to get to her binders as quickly, as easily as she would the files on her desktop or to a website on her browser. But also, she needs her students to be able to get to it as well. So the fact that the binders are accessible, they're available anytime, anywhere. They can log on, and she could have her binder waiting for her students to take a look at when they're at home. And the other thing that I think is interesting is she can update her binder without having to resend the URL to the binder or re-upload it to her web blog or her school's website. Because as soon as she opens up the binder and inserts her new media object, that when the student opens that binder, they will see that new tab in there already. So it's very minimal amount of effort that the teacher has to make to get the information to the students. The other thing is how flexible the binders are. So a teacher can create private binders and share them with her students. All they would need to have is an access key. It's like a password. So when a student clicks on a binder that has been shared by the teacher, all the teacher has to do is create an access key, share that access key with the students. And when the binder opens, it will ask them to type in that access key. So it makes it very flexible. The teacher can choose to have public binders or private binders. The other thing is also that they can upload documents. So it may not be that a teacher uses resources from the web. It may be that they already have a huge list of Word documents and PDF documents and PowerPoint slides that they want to share with their students. So they can upload those into the binder and organize them by tabs and subtabs.
Personally, I like that idea of how the Live Binder will automatically update. It's not static where you'd have to go back and recopy and paste it in the embed code if you have it in your own wiki. Another point you also made was the flexibility and accessibility, the ability to add a variety of documents. Would you please explain the methods one could follow to create a Live Binder?
There are several different ways you can create a Live Binder. If you are browsing on the web and you see sites that you want to put in a binder, you can create a binder on the fly that way using Live Binderette. And that's a great way to just build binders as you go along. But you can also start a binder from scratch if you want. If you want to upload documents to it, you can just create a blank binder, type in text, and upload documents. And there's also a Google search. So if you're starting a new project and you're just going to do an initial search, you can create a binder through Google search, and I'll put the first 10 results from Google into a binder to get you started.
Now, there was a point you had made earlier in talking about the vision of live binders that kind of has resonated with me, and you had started kind of touch on Delicious and Digo. Would you care to elaborate a little further on the similarities and differences between live binders and those social bookmarking sites?
So in comparing live binders with Digo and Delicious, if you look at both Digo and Delicious, they give you a list of bookmarks. Digo's new version is actually much more visually attractive with thumbnails of the sites, but neither of those sites provide you with a real context for the information, and they send you away when you click on a link. So think of live binders as a three-ring binder, but better. Like a binder, you can organize your information into one lesson or one research project, and when you're done, you can just put it on a shelf. The binder provides a context for the information. You look at the web pages from within the binder, and you can click out of it if you want to, but you're not forced out of the context of the binder. The bottom line is these social bookmarking sites are designed by technologists who love the technology and everything it can do. But Live Binders was designed by people trying to get real work done. And we know that you need to put all your links together, not only links, but upload documents and include your own comments. And when you're organizing all of your information for the web. So the other thing we did was we added a way to import Delicious bookmarks into a Live Binder. So if you've got Delicious bookmarks and you're continually using Delicious, that's fine. You can also move those into a Live Binder.
And with the understanding of how Live Binders is different than social bookmarking sites, does Live Binders provide the social networking functionality of multiple people sharing or collaborating on a single binder without sharing login information?
Yeah, so we've been designing a groups capability for the binders, and we're currently seeking input from the Live Binders community on that. So if you're looking for this feature, please email us with your ideas. We'd love to hear from you. And you can just send that to feedback@livebinders.com, and that goes to both Tina and I.
So in terms of the different levels of accessibility with a Live Binder, I mean, obviously we're working on the group function, and that will add to the functionality and accessibility of the binders. But for right now, I talked earlier about the private binder. So a teacher can share private binders with their students, and the only way they can open them is with this access key. For public binders, a teacher can share them by embedding them in their blog or on their web page, sharing the links on a website or through email. They can provide them with copyable and non-copyable binders. And what the difference is there is that any public binder can be copied. And many teachers use this to act as templates for their students when they're doing projects. So a teacher can create a binder template and then make it so that the students can copy them into their own accounts so that they can use them for their own research project or e-portfolio project. But you can also choose not to make that copyable. You can keep it public, but if you don't want anybody copying them, you can have that capability.
Personally, I think the copy and non-copy feature is going to come in quite handy, especially for those that are creating binders and want to share it under Creative Commons and share like. And I, too, encourage everyone to respond to Tina and Barbara on using the feedback@livebinders.com for suggesting enhancements or maybe going back and showing some improvements on some things that you may feel need to be done. So please consider that and take advantage of that opportunity. Now, this next question is also going to kind of be a benefit for educators out there that are trying to convince their IT staff to open live binders for use in the classroom. And that question is, are there any limitations in regards to age in creating an account on live binders in regards to personal information and regulations like COPPA and SEPA?
We have no age limitations in viewing the content of the binders. We have teachers all the way down to the pre-K level that are creating content for their students. And we do monitor the site to make sure that all public binders are appropriate for students. So if they are browsing the site, they can click on any of the binders. However, for creating binders, there is the COPPA legislation that doesn't allow us to collect email addresses from children under 13. So we currently ask that students be over 13 to create their accounts. We are exploring working with a third party on this that will provide us with a parental permission capability that we need to open the authoring to children under 13, but that's not available right now.
That's fantastic news to hear how you guys are reviewing the public folders for educational content to keep that appropriate, and also how you're working potentially with a third-party organization to be able to get it to where you can get parental consent for those under the age of 13. For, as I mentioned earlier, there's going to be a lot of educators out there that are in schools where the IT staff may not necessarily have a true understanding for how these things, tools like Live Binders, can really benefit the classroom. And speaking of benefiting the classroom, what would you recommend as best practices when it comes to integrating Live Binders at the different levels of education?
Okay, so best practices. Well, for the lower school, I think teachers creating Live Binders for students to review either in the classroom or the computer lab is a great way to get interactive material in front of the kids without having them get distracted by other parts of the web. So we have teachers in the lower school who create binders that are used when they go into the computer lab, and every website that they want the kids to be working on is within a binder. There's no other way they can be distracted going anywhere else. We also have librarians who create binders for different grade levels, knowing what subjects that they're working on. So, for example, we have librarians that have prepared binders on different animals, different weather types. And so the students come into the computer lab or into the classroom and review that material in these binders, or they can take them home. So we have one librarian that wants her library, quote-unquote, to be available 24/7, and that's how she does that. I think for integrating Live Binders into the middle school and high school levels, again, it's also a great resource material for the kids doing research projects. Teachers could prepare binders that the students then review. We have teachers that use Live Binders to put all of their lecture material and resources material in one place for the students to be able to look at each day to review the PowerPoint slides or the videos that they have presented in class but need extra time on that material, or to use them before a test, to review them before a test. We have teachers who put homework assignments in binders, even with online calculators. They use them so that students actually create their own project binders where they've done research, and teachers want to keep track of all the sites that they've used in their research project, and they use binders in that way. You can also see it as a place where students can make presentations. So they're working on a project, and it may not be that they're just going online and collecting websites, but they're also looking at interactive sites, videos, and other material that they've created, like typing in their own thesis within the binder. So all of that can be in one place. And you can see that carried forward with the college students as well, where it's not just a resource platform for teachers to share with students, but it's also a tool for the students to use to collect and gather their research material for their course, or to use it as an e-portfolio for all the work that they've done while working on their thesis. So hopefully that answers your question.
Yeah, you mentioned e-portfolios, and you know that's one of the big trends that we really are seeing today about the use of technology in education, is wanting to get some portfolio or some way that the kids be able to show off their efforts, their works, their products, their writing and everything for those that are going to college and are applying for scholarships or looking to go into a professional field, and really could use those to give them a way to get in, and that's great. And that kind of leads me into this next question I have is, as we look further into 21st century learning and collaboration, what should we look for to see from Live Binders as far as 21st century skills?
And those are all things that Live Binders offer. Live Binders actually gives teachers a place to consolidate all of the dynamic content that's coming at them across the web.
Yeah, if you think about it, the more cool technologies that are being offered over the internet, the more information you've got to manage. And if you think about it, there's only so much teachers can handle with paper flying around everywhere. There's got to be a way the teachers can bring them together and make them useful. So I think what is compelling about Live Binders is that we're thinking of the big picture here. You've got to structure the tabular interface that is consistent for the teacher across, no matter how many new technologies are out there, you can embed them and place them into a Live Binder so that you have one place that you can go to and one interface that you can rely on to bring all these cool new technologies together and use them in the classroom and share them with the students outside of the classroom in the way that teachers know best how to do. So I think as we're entering the 21st century, where individuals are going to be more empowered with information and how to control them, how to organize them, how to share them, I think Live Binders for teachers is going to help them not be on the sidelines, but actually be in the center, driving change and making the internet a really useful place for learning.
I would say you ladies are well on your way to being pretty successful and accomplishing those goals. So in wrapping up our time together, is there anything either one of you would like to go ahead and touch on or reinforce that we had already covered during this conversation?
Dean, thanks so much for putting this together. There is one thing I'd like to mention. We are working on making a presentation mode and making that much easier so teachers can show the binders in their classroom without all the other content around it, so there's no distractions. And you'll see that in the next few days go live. So there's that. And I also like to mention that, for examples, we have the Live Binders for Teachers PB Works site that gives all sorts of samples of how teachers are using this in grade levels and also in subject matter. So it's a great place to get started just to see how teachers are using it. That address is livebinders4teachers.pbworks.com.
And Dean, I want to thank you too for taking the time to bring us on board and to let us talk about Live Binders with your audience. We really appreciate that. And I just want to let teachers know that Barbara and I understand how hard it is and how much time it takes to bring new technologies into the classroom and just to even get information communicated to the students. You guys are on every day, 5 days a week, and we know you have very little time to try to get a lot of information presented to the kids and to get them motivated to learn. So if you are using Live Binders or would like to give it a try and you have any issues or questions, please feel free to use the feedback at livebinders.com or info@livebinders.com. And Barbara and I are there ready to answer your questions, and we understand how quickly you need us to respond. So we're there for you.
I would like to personally take this time and express my deepest gratitude to you, Tina, and Barbara. These are the ladies, again, are the founders of livebinders.com. I really encourage you and all of you out there in the Eduverse to sign up, take advantage of the features and the tools that Live Binders currently provides and will be coming out with in the future. So take advantage of those tutorial videos. I'll be writing a blog post also, providing some of their tutorial videos and handouts and some insight to how I use Live Binders. And you can find my blog at dmance7.edublogs.org. So I'd like to just conclude by saying thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next time on Mance's Mission.